this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
But just as we get into this year, with all our New Year's resolutions, everything the Lord has called us to do, I want to be what He wants us to be. Grace, be in peace for Him who is, and was, and is. I love that. The one who was, and is, and is to come. He's the one who brings us to peace. Doesn't matter what stuff you've brought with you into 2014. Doesn't matter which things you're ashamed of, which things you're proud of, which things you wish you didn't do, or which things you wish you had done better. He comes and says, I was there with you when you messed up. I was there with you when you missed the moment. I was there with you when the person drowned because was evil and suntanning. I was there. And here I come and say, grace to you. I'm not intimidated by your past. He comes and says, the one who was, the one who is. Right now, whatever it is he's facing. Right now, whatever it is he's keeping you away at night. Maybe it's getting you excited, or it's frustrating you, or giving you a migraine, whatever it is, right now He knows. He knows. That's why none of us are here by accident or by mistake. None of us just arrived in 2014 by knowing where you're staying, what your ID number is, what job you're doing, what job you're looking for. God knows. Right now, He is. And then a beautiful promise, the one who is to come, faith. We heard two of you were saying, referring to us this morning. He goes ahead of us. He goes ahead of us to prayer and money. There's no month, there's no week, there's no day in 2014 that's going to catch God by surprise. He's going to say, whoa, I didn't know how it was going to take that decision. I really didn't see that one coming. The one who was and is and is to come is coming ahead of us. And He's saying, I'm giving you peace. Peace I can give you. And He comes and says, for the seven spirits are before His throne, speaking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is referred to as the sevenfold Spirit. Speaking about the Holy Spirit who's everywhere, and who comes and makes Jesus of God alive. It says, from the seven spirits are before His throne, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the peace of the earth. There's so much in that. But He comes and He says, I'm bringing this word of grace to you. Not just because I feel you're awesome. I'm speaking to you a word of grace this morning. I'm saying to you that 2014 is a year that God knows, and a year that God is planning, and a year that God has mapped out for you. Not because I believe in your degree, because I believe in your qualification, or because I know how awesome you are. By the way, you are awesome. You are incredible. But I'm not basing my hope for you as the people that I'm watching. I'm not basing my hope for you that 2014 will be a great year. Be an awesome year, be a year of becoming based upon who you are. And based upon the word of grace, the word of peace, based upon Jesus Christ, the firstborn from the dead, the one who has destroyed the power of death and the grave, the one who's risen from the dead. He's the one that comes and says to you, grace, peace. Salute the vehicle, salute the messenger. So don't look to me as I'm going to say this to you first and foremost this morning. Don't look to me for the word, not this morning, not next Sunday, not any Sunday. Don't come here based on who's preaching. You're going to be standing in such. God goes, Jesus Christ, He's the word. And He can use anyone. He can speak to you from any word, any person. Doesn't matter whether the guy is preaching or you're wrong with me. He can speak to you when you have to serve His life. Have expectation in God. Doesn't matter who's doing the preaching. Doesn't matter who's up front. Jesus Christ has a word for you. The implication of that is that He has a word for you, but He also has a word for you. So my hope, my desire is all of us will start praying about a Sunday morning. We'll start praying about the Wednesday evening. And whenever we come together and say, God, out of the 150 people that are in that room, give you one word for one or two. You think God can do that? You think He can speak to you about someone else that's going to be here and say to you, just give someone some love. Just have a job in that. Just invite someone over for dinner. Just say, God says He knows the plans that He has for you. The same Jesus Christ that spoke through John, word of grace and word of peace. The same Jesus Christ that is using me, the same Jesus Christ that is using you. You see how this is short of thinking, you only have your words to bring. Your plans, your ideas. Firstborn from the dead, the faithful witness, I love that, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, He rules over your company, He rules over your family, every king, every man-made title, authority, subject to God. Doesn't have any power over you that He didn't give. begins to expose you to that God doesn't know. And God doesn't give you grace and gift. He's the ruler, the kings of the earth. Is that thing maybe that you're afraid of this community? You're worried about a politician or about the economy or somehow, some thought, and God comes to you and he says to you, grace and peace to you. I'm the ruler of all the rulers. And then John something happens here to John. He says, I'm not speaking about Jesus Christ, guys. I'm bringing you this word, it's not my thoughts, not my ideas. I'm bringing you the word that comes from Jesus. This Jesus that isn't a figment of your imagination, but this Jesus that rose from the dead. I'm bringing you his word. And then he starts thinking about Jesus. And as it happens, as when you start thinking about Jesus, you can't stop thinking about Jesus. Amen? When you actually stop, when you actually push the pause button in your life, you start thinking about Jesus. I've been really thinking about who he is, what he's done, and his character. You start thinking about it. Something happens to you. And then this thing happens to John. He starts breaking up into a dance. He starts getting all loose. And he starts singing. He says, to he who loved us. He breaks up into a song. And this became one of the earliest hymns that the church used to sing. To he who loved us. Notice that Jesus rose from the dead. There are many gods out there that claim to be powerful. He was powerful, yes. All powerful, all knowing, everywhere. He will love us. You know he loves us, don't you? You know that? You know that's the first word that he speaks of me, that I love you. You know the last word that speaks of you as well, he loves you. But it's not just a miracle. It's not a love that just leaves you to do your own thing. It's a love that comes after you and pursues you. So I'm going to say to you, buckle up. There's love pursuing you in 2014. There's love that is on your face. It's after your heart. There's love that's not going to relent. There's love that's going to set you up with appointments and connections and circumstances back against the wall of that circumstances here. Against your heart. Because the best thing for you God. He's going to take you out of your comfort zone, he's going to challenge you, and he's going to do it because he loves you, and he loves your heart. Save us from us. He says, people will love us, and here he comes. One of us, and wash us from our sins. And he's coming back. Love us, wash us. It's a great challenge today to portray God simply as a loving God. But he's not just a loving God, he's also a God who's able to do what he wants to do. He doesn't just have a desire, he's able to fulfill that desire. And he made a way for us to be reconciled to him. God loving us is truth. But it's not the only truth. The only truth is that God loves us, but we are sinners. And we are separated from him. And we are destined to spend eternity away from him. Eternal, separated from God. Recipient of God's rightful wrath. By the week I bought a newspaper, read two pages, I couldn't get through it. If you have any doubt whether we are certain people, whether we need God's judgment, whether we deserve God's judgment, or whether we are truly, really just good from the inside out. You know, we all just really good. And this is what God loves us all to say to us. Read the newspaper. Open up and tell me whether we are really good. The time when we're supposed to be celebrating a child's life and a child's birth is a time when our children are being sought. Right, killed in the hands. Family members doing the most horrific things, hiding little boys in his face. From how can you have spent time? What is that? That is what happens when man turns away from God. And that is why God is a just God will bring an end to what we have on this earth. That is why God is a just God will send people to heaven. The only thing is, we can esteem sense of justice. From God's perspective, everything that we do outside of Him is sin. Everything that we do, every motive, every thought that we think outside of Him is focused upon ourselves is sin. And so God says, all of us are sin. None of us are righteous. So God loves us, that's the one side of the story. The other side of the story is that there needs to be justice.
God's people. So we worship. God is called us to worship. He's called us to give expression to our life through our music, through our voice. And he's called us to live worshipfully in everything that we do. So, if somebody says next to you, you can tell them and say, "Morning, King. Morning, peace. Your Majesty." Some of us have been following Christ all of that. Some of us have been thinking things the same thing about each other. Because we want my word about the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm not saying it, God said. If there's a problem, let's fight with me. That's what I want to make today. John does what he says to me, glory and meaning for him. And that's what I'm saying. That's how profound you are to me. You want to know what's the job description? What do I need to do? Have this sense of God. Have a meaning. Trust God. The rule of the things that is in your life. He brings peace, he brings joy, he brings provision to parents. I want to have a conversation this week that challenged me to give that scripture that says, God, I'm seeing such sort of stuff in my life is based on my efforts. And heaven knows, I don't want to get to the end of my life and simply discover how to do God. Simply want to discover my nice words. There's an element of faith, an element of the supernatural that God wants to display through us as kids. Where we bring the power and the truth of God through situations that can supersede and override the facts. So God's called us to do. We were talking about healing, we were talking about why some people get healed. And I said, thank God we begin to see the fucking something. The dead. We've had some healings for us. We've been healed of cancer. Wounds opening up that we never could see. We're thankful for that. We pray and God can and God heal. Touch people and change and heal. I believe there's a lot more that God wants. He said his word will be preached, not just the word, but also the power. Amen. He said, I don't give you an exercise of faith for you. You can see God's greatness. And so we say to God, it's revealed in nature and humanity. What do we have that's different than any other organization? It tries to help you. Any welfare organization tries to help you. What do we have? It's in the presence of God. It's in the supernatural manifestation of God's presence. Maybe we'll have a church service where everything happens here. Something could have happened without God. So my challenge this week, where I was challenged, was reading it. I read something. It said, what happened the last 7 days in your life that only God can do? You can stretch it, 10 months, 10 years, whatever, but we need to do that. The question is simply, are you exercising your faith? Are you trusting God for supernatural? You trusting God for things beyond what you can do in your own life? You say, it's a prayer of fire. He's not just a natural human being. He's not just doing something. He's not just building something. God has washed us in his blood. He has resurrected us with him and restored us to his peace and peace. Some of you need to go back and you can come before us. And by the way, the word that Jesus threw was a certainty. It was never to abuse people and dominate people. He's a part of the word for humanity. And I say, God, I can't do this. I'm certainly in your best. Revisit the book of Leviticus. He priest, ask your worship. Is it depending upon the band? Is it depending upon someone cheering you on? Getting you excited? But does worship happen when you and you and you and you stop and when you're thinking about Jesus? So my suggestion to us this morning is this, that if our worship is that, it probably means that we're thinking about Jesus. It probably means that God is saying. It probably means to be feeling about Jesus when we come to church. The more we feel about the more spontaneous responses to him who loves us, washed us with his blood, made us clean and priest. To him, we draw in power. Let me take you to this thing that is Revelation 5:1-14. Now, I'm going to read a lot of scriptures. I didn't have time to put it up. There's quite a lot. But in your Bibles, on your iPad, on the Galaxy, on the Nexus, whatever you have, look for you. Don't know whether they can do it or not. But in Revelation 5, But in order for that to happen, we need to look at Jesus differently. I want to help us to look at this very differently. We look at our lives. You think about John. Now we went to our church building and sign that says silence church. And we have respect for that because we need to become silent more often in our lives. Amen. We need to stop. We need to think and contemplate more often on who God is. Quiet over us. We need to get out. We rush off and we see no one. But if church is also supposed to be a place where God can manifest himself, express himself, the way his word is being done in heaven, then I venture to say that silence is always one of the things that is very rare in God. But there is something that happens that takes place in the heart of people. John could have written about it, lots of stuff. He writes about the fact that God is on his throne. He says it's like Jasper in Revelation 4. No doubt we read it. It's like Jasper, it's like a diamond. Shining, brilliant. Remember, there's no sun in heaven. The moon God is like himself. He's on his throne. He's like this brilliant, shining diamond. That woman said, Apostle, we want to. Think about those beautiful, gorgeous things when you see that life. He says, God is like himself. He says, what's the fact? When was the last time you worshiped that God? Like himself. Doesn't mean the sun. Doesn't mean anything like anything. He's saying, he is light. Trying to get your head around. How does it work? When you raise your soul, it's God created life first. Anywhere in the sun, right? See, you're right across the head of God. Oh, okay. Pray with Jesus. But, to God. Now, pray. Shine. Brighter than the sun. John says, you see the stone is like silence. It says around the film there's this rainbow. It's emerald green. How many have driven down the road? Stood in the hill. On a beach. Saw a rainbow. And wasn't there for a touch. I think you can. I think there's something in the house that you see it rain. Something happens to you, doesn't it? It's just like, wow. And what's another science behind it? Might be affecting all sorts of stuff. Well, I understand. Scripture says there's this constant rainbow over the throne of God. Sorrow. It says that he sits on the throne. And around him there are these incredible creatures. You can think about all the stuff we've seen, all the majestic beings we have up in. Think about the streets of our film. This is not the language. It says they've got four of the creatures around the throne constantly. It says they're amongst the throne, they're in the throne, they're around the throne. They've got eyes at the front and eyes at the back. They've got eyes on the inside, all around them. And they've got the wings of which they cover their face and they cry. One has the face of a man and the face of an eagle of a lion. What's that word? Man. You need that lie. Middle of the night. I think you'll fall on your knees and cry for mercy. And yet, you're sending me to the presence of that God with those knees worshiping that God. With those knees. So when we worship, when we step into a place like this, when we step into your cross, we step into that fire. The blood of Jesus gives you access. Not just into your living room, not just into this, I'm not just here. I've been translated with one Jesus Christ gives you. Heaven. Why are we seeking when that presence of God comes to earth? is the God we worship. And don't forget, years ago, I wasn't married yet. Went through a tough time, I stood the presence of God, and God said, you stand here. And you stand and you bring your life and bring the seed of your loyalty before me. And you make a commitment to me that wherever you stand, you will be found standing in my presence. Every one to be, Lord, as a fact, we will be worshipers. We will be all. And so, John comes and obviously he's amazed by what he sees, all around him. And the 24 elders are there, they cast their crowns down before the Lord. And then, Revelation 5 says, now I saw in the right hand of him, he set in the throne, scroll with a new sign on the back, sealed with 7 seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose the seals. And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll all together. All the incredible beings, all the wonderful things that have been created around the throne of God, none of them was worthy to open the scroll. And there was probably no more silence there because the angel asked, who is worthy to open the scroll? Who is worthy to show us what will come? Who is worthy to reveal the word of God? What is the word of God? It's his heart. It's his plan, it's his purpose. Who is worthy to show us God's heart? That's the cry. Who is worthy? Who are you looking to show you God's heart? Who are you turning to your own with desperation and panic and fear to show you the heart of God? Who are you looking to for direction? Who are you looking to open up your future? Who is worthy? Who are you looking to? Then there's a moment of silence in heaven, and then John says, so I wait. Much. Because no one was found worthy to open, read, scroll, or to look at it. Have we forgotten what it felt like to be cut off from the revelation of God? The desperation. That's what John's speaking about here. Where is the revelation going to come from? Who's going to break open God's heart for us? You know how many thousands and millions of people around us are holding their desperation, letting them know. Who's going to reveal God's heart? And then it comes. Beautiful verse that says, but one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the lion, the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll to loose its 7 seals. And I looked and beheld in the midst of the throne and of the 4 living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God, sent up into all the earth. Jesus Christ is empowered by the Spirit of God. That's what the image represents. The Lamb is no man in his way. Right in the center of the throne. Right in the center of everything that happens in heaven is this Lamb that is slain. Heaven, south of Spain, doesn't mean anything for anyone. Besides you, make a way for us. Think about it. Created the earth of human beings that are going to turn against God and make some way. And that way is now not just a door into heaven, that way is now the center of heaven. Think about it. Our gospel, our story, our redemption, the way it has been made for us is now the center of heaven. Had you not sinned, had you not fallen from God, had you not needed God, there would be no need for that. Do you agree? Yeah. And yet, everything that happens in heaven, the seed of heaven is this seed about what Jesus has done for us, the Lamb. And he came into the scroll of the right hand, he said to the throne. And now, look at this. Now, when he had taken the scroll of 4 little creatures and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sat in Esau, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood. All of them focused on the Lamb. There's this eruption that comes. By the way, I want to take you to verse 6 or chapter 4 quickly. The throne of God. Look at what he says, he describes the throne. From the throne proceeded lightnings,
thunderings and voices.
I really have taken that about lightnings and thunderings. Think about all the thunderings that you have heard put together that doesn't come close to what it sounds like. Lightnings, thunderings, and voices around the throne of God.
And then in the midst of all of that and voices, it comes to Saul.
If the thunderings, the lightnings, then imagine what Saul must be like. Because this lightning, the thunderings is going on in the throne of very joy. Here's the Saul. Come on now. It must have sounded very loud storm with very impressive speakers. Right? Now the storm comes. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain and you gave us to God by your blood. And here it comes out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And made us kings and priests to our God. We shall reign on the earth. Then I lived and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was 7,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." If you don't know how to sing to God, start there. Start with a song you're going to sing for eternity. Start practicing, people. "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, and glory and blessing." And it says, "In every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in our earth, say, blessing, and honor, and glory, and power be to him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb forever and ever."
That's our ultimate worship as we have to us. This is just a blessing. This is just praise. Might as well start walking on my voice. Might as well start getting all loose. Nah? Stretch those arms, bend those knees, breakfast falling down, your face is going to do a lot of pain. Something so awesome about the presence of God. My heart's quiet. And God bless us. Progress to this, the revelation of nature. The awesomeness of the holiness of awesomeness of the Lamb made it possible. Made it possible for us to look and assume these things. Made it possible for us to love and be loved. Made it possible for us to be together. Many of you have maybe tried to tell. You might have a problem with somebody that looks different than you, and the peace of it, but see them again. Be with you a long time. Part of the reason why we as a congregation, I believe, and do what we do is because we get the peace of that. And God displays His glory to you like this. Every time, every nation. I'm crying out to God, Lord, God, I want every nation in the Spirit. On the nation, on the different languages. Get to the place where they have settled the different languages and they should be. And if you are going to lead me to represent God, I'm just going to represent. Or maybe you're not going to have a prayer. I love the fact that we have a language to all talk together. Okay? Yeah. Not have a little service on the day, a service on the day, a different language and stuff. It's obviously beautiful. And we come together as one. Well. Amen. We worship God together as one. Well. Okay, I think this is way too long. Didn't go on that one. Allow me just to read you here, but I just said it was 9:17. Now I want you to see this. John sees heaven, he sees the four terrible creatures, he sees the 24 elders, he sees the angels, tens of thousands of angels, innumerable, he sees the elders, he sees all of them worshiping God. And then, the multitudes, then, verse 9 of chapter 7, it says, "After these things, I looked and behold a great multitude which no one could number. Of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne before the Lamb, clothed with white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne to the Lamb.' And all the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, 'Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever. Amen.'"
Martyrs does, we're going to read the rest of the chapter, that people were found through the fires and the robes cleansed by the blood of Jesus, sanctified by him, not their own righteousness, his righteousness. They stand, and when they worship God on the throne and the Lamb, guess what happens? Heaven. That's why. Heaven responds. First, the people. You don't believe me. I'm going to read it to you again. Verse 9. I live in the spoken prophecies of all nations, tribes, and peoples. Would you agree as people? As people, right? Yeah. They cry out to God, salvation to our God, sit on the throne and to the Lamb. Says, yes, God, you saved us. You're worthy, you're holy, you're awesome. They cry out with a loud voice. Then it says, the angels and the elders and all the other creatures said what? Amen. To what did they say amen? To the worship of the saints. To the worship of the saints. So I want to say to you that more important than your goals, more important than the things you plan to do this year, is your worship. So when you worship God, heaven departs.
Awesome. worship the people once and once. Once we separate from God, once we sin. Based upon his blood, not based upon what he did.